We present Watto Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Starring Michael Horton as Jeeves and Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster. With this week's guest, Maurice Denham as the Reverend Heppenstall. The Purity of the Turf.
After the great sermon handicap had run its merry course, hitting the Worcester bank balance a frightful wallop and snootering Bingo Little's love life in the process, things at Twing simmered down a bit and started to jog along pretty peacefully. The only event of any importance on the horizon, as far as I could ascertain, was the annual village school sports, so one simply filled in the time by loafing about the grounds, playing a bit of tennis, and avoiding young Bingo as far as was humanly possible. This last being a very necessary move, for the Cynthia affair had jarred the unfortunate mutt to such an extent that he was always waylaying one and decanting his anguished soul. One morning, as I lay in bed wondering when Jeeves was going to show up with a cup of tea, a heavy weight descended on my toes and the voice of young Bingo polluted the air.
Bertie, old man, wake up! I say, Bertie, do wake up!
Bingo! Now look here, you blighter. I know your bally heart is broken and all that, and I can put up with you moaning all over me at dinner and even at lunch. But before I've had my morning cup of tea, no, no, no.
I haven't come to talk about that, Bertie.
Well, you haven't? Oh, good egg. Ah, here is Jeeves with the beverage. Morning, Jeeves.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Mr. Little.
Morning, Jeeves, old friend.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves.
Very good, sir.
Oh. No, what I came to see you about this morning, Bertie, was to ask if you'd care to come in on another little flutter.
What? I say, really? Well, if there's one thing we Worcesters are absolutely dripping with, it's sporting blood, you know.
Mm. Oh. Ooh.
Hands off the toast. Now proceed, Bingo. You interest me strangely, old bird.
Well, on Monday week, as you may or may not know, Bertie, the annual village school sports takes place.
I know that. Cynthia told me.
What? Would you mind not mentioning that name? Mm. I am not made of marble.
Oh, sorry.
As I was saying... Oh, what was I saying? Oh, yes.
Hold the line a minute, Bingo. I've just had a thought. If this is a sporting proposition, let's have Jeeves in on it. After all, he was the only one who copped on the sermon handicap. It's time he joined the syndicate.
Right-ho.
Ah, Jeeves, rally round.
Sir?
Stand by. We require the services of your great intellect.
Very good, sir.
State your case, Bingo.
Yes. Well, Jeeves, I was just saying that the annual village school sports are slated for Monday next.
Precisely, sir.
The question is, are we on?
How do you mean, are we on?
The sports, Bertie. Steggles did so well on the sermons that he decided to make a book on these sports. Punters can be accommodated at anti-post odds or starting price according to preference, and personally, I think we ought to look into it.
Jeeves, what about it? Do we go in?
I am inclined to favour the idea, sir.
Right, that's good enough for me. We'll form a syndicate and bust the ring. I supply the money, you, Jeeves, supply the brains, and Bingo... Oh, what do you supply, Bingo?
If you can carry me and let me settle up later, Bertie, I think I can put you in the way of winning a parcel on the mother's sack race.
All right, we'll put you down as inside information. Now, what are the events?
Well, here's the list. Girls under 14, 50-yard dash... That seems to open the proceedings.
Anything to say about that, Jeeves?
No, sir. I have no information.
Right. Skip that for the nonce, then. Mm-hmm. Now, what's next, Bingo?
Boys and girls mixed animal potato race all ages.
What? What? I'd never heard of that at any of the big meetings.
What is it? Well, it's rather sporting, Bertie. The competitors enter in couples, each couple being assigned an animal cry and a potato. For instance, let's suppose that you and Jeeves entered. Jeeves would stand at a fixed point holding a potato.
A potato?
Yes, and you'd have your head in a sack, and you'd grope about trying to find Jeeves, and making a noise like a cat. And Jeeves also making a noise like a cat. And the other competitors were making noises like cows and pigs and dogs.
No. Jolly if you're fond of animals, but on the whole, no.
Precisely, sir. No. I wouldn't touch it.
Quite. Carry on, Bingo. Where do we go from there?
Mother's Sacrace.
Ah, that's better. This is where you know something.
Absolutely. It's a gift for Mrs. Penworthy, the tobacconist's wife. I was in her shop yesterday buying cigarettes, and she told me she'd won 3 times at fairs in Worcestershire. She only moved to these parts a short time ago, so nobody knows about her. She promised me she'd keep herself dark, and Steggles is quoting a decentish 7-1.
Risk a tenner each way, Jeeves, what?
I think so, sir.
Right, home. Bingo?
Girls open egg and spoon race.
Oh, how about that? Jeeves?
I doubt if it would be worthwhile to invest, sir. I'm told it is a certainty for last year's winner, Sarah Mills, who will doubtless start an odds-on favourite.
Good, is she?
They tell me in the village that she carries a beautiful egg, sir.
Right, ho, forget it. Bingo?
Father's hat trimming contest. Another speculative event, I think. That's all except for the... Oh, yes, the choir boy's 100 yards handicap for a pewter mug presented by the vicar, open to all those whose voices have not broken before the second Sunday in Epiphany. I don't know what to advise.
If I may make a suggestion, sir...
Jeeves, I say, I don't know that I've ever seen you look so nearly excited. Have you got something up your sleeve?
In that precise department of my costume, sir.
Red hot?
Positively incandescent, sir. I think I may confidently assert that we have the winner of the choir boy's handicap under this very roof, sir. Harold the page boy.
Page boy? Do you mean that tubby little chap in buttons one sees bobbing about here and there? Why, dash it, Jeeves, he's practically circular. And every time I've seen him, he's been leaning up against something, half asleep.
He receives 30 yards, sir, and could win from scratch. The boy is a flyer.
Are you sure? I mean, how do you know?
I was as much astonished as yourself, sir, when I first became aware of the lad's capabilities. I happened to pursue him one morning with the intention of fetching him a clip on the side of the head.
Great Scott, Jeeves! You?
Yes, sir. The boy is of an outspoken disposition, and had made an opprobrious remark respecting my personal appearance. I endeavoured to correct him, but he outdistanced me by yards and made good his escape.
But I say, Jeeves, this is sensational. And yet, if he's such a sprinter, why hasn't anybody in the village found out? Surely he plays with the other boys?
No, sir. As his lordship's page boy, Harold does not mix with the village lads.
Bit of a snob, what?
He is somewhat acutely alive to the existence of class distinctions, sir.
Yes, but dash it, Jeeves. He's quoted here at 100-12, and Steggles is no chump, even if he is pimpled. Are you absolutely certain the kid's such a wonder?
If you desire to ascertain the boy's form by personal inspection, sir, it will be a simple matter to arrange a secret trial.
Well, I'm bound to say I shall feel easier in my mind, Jeeves.
Then, if I may take a shilling from the money on your dressing table, sir...
What for?
I propose to bribe the lad to speak slightingly of the second footman's squint, sir. Charles is somewhat sensitive on the point and should undoubtedly make the lad extend himself. If you will be at the first floor passage window overlooking the back door in half an hour's time, I think I can promise you a revelation, sir.
Right-o, Jeeves. We'll be there. Ah, here they come. Oh.
Lay my hands on you, you little devil!
Cross-eye! Who's got a squint?
Bertie!
Cross-eye.
What was that?
Well, it was something round and blue and buttony.
But he's going like a mustang. I say, Bertie, he's in the bushes already.
Throwing stones, don't you know?
And Charles isn't even at the halfway mark. There's nothing to it, Bertie.
Absolutely nothing.
But the field never had a chance.
I say. Jeeves?
Sir?
Jeeves, no discussion. The Worcester shirt goes on this boy.
Very good, sir.
Absolutely, don't you know? Absolutely. The worst of these country meetings is that you can't plunge as heavily as you'd like when you have a skewer because it alarms the ring. If I had invested all I wanted to on young Harold, Steggles would undoubtedly have put two and two together. And even the fairly solid bet I did manage to get down for the syndicate made him look thoughtful. However, I suppose he must have come to the conclusion that I was having a long shot on the strength of that 30-yard start, for he accepted it with a good grace, and all was well. We, meanwhile, started to put Harold into strict training, and it was a wearing business, I can tell you. A wearing business.
Jeeves!
Good evening, sir.
Jeeves, a large gore and soda before anything else. I'm a broken man, Jeeves.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Oh, thanks. Mm. Oh, I can now understand why most of the big trainers are grim, silent men, Jeeves, who look as though they have suffered. That kid Harold needs constant watching.
Yes, sir. He would certainly appear to be demonstrating a marked reluctance to participate in the rigorous diet that you and Mr. Little have devised.
I'll say. The kid seems to live for pastry and cigarettes. I just caught him in the smoking room collecting a handful of the best Turkish, don't you know?
That is bad news, sir. Only this morning I had cause to chase him out of the pantry on some 7 occasions.
7? He must be in the place the whole time.
Yes, sir. Whenever the butler's back is turned.
Ugh. Another, please, Jeeves.
Certainly, sir. Ugh. Ugh. We must be grateful, however, sir, that the lad is at least taking more than his wonted amount of exercise.
Well, thanks to the second footman, yes. Even that's running into money, Jeeves. I suppose that can't be helped.
I was not alluding to the boy's morning dash, sir, beneficial though that doubtless is, but to the fact that Mr. Little took him out this afternoon to act as caddy on the golf links. I have considerable hopes that this task, if performed frequently, will eventually effect an amelioration in the boy's physical condition.
Sweating round 18 holes with a heavy bag of clubs, it's just what the little snurge needs, Jeeves.
My sentiments precisely, sir.
Hello, Bertie, old man.
Ah, here is the old egg, full of good cheer and blitheringness. Sit down, Bingo, and suck a bit of blood.
Thanks.
Jeeves, a drink for Mr. Little.
Sir.
Well, Bingo? Have a good game of golf.
Ha! You should have been there, Bertie. Oh, thanks, Jeeves. You should have seen Steggles' face.
Seen Steggles' face? Why, did you go round in under 100?
When he saw young Harold sprint, I mean.
You... What? You didn't let Harold sprint in front of Steggles?
What? I never thought of that.
Oh, good Lord, Bingo, you fathead!
It wasn't my fault. We were just having a quick snort after the game, and as we came out of the clubhouse, we saw Harold practicing swings with Steggles' driver and a stone. He was off over the horizon before Steggles could get near him.
You great chump, Bingo!
Oh, Bertie, it doesn't matter that much. We're on at a good price, so even if the boy starts at odds on, it doesn't affect us.
It affects us all right if he doesn't start at all. Correct, Jeeves?
Correct, sir.
What do you mean?
If you ask me, I think Steggles will try to nobble him before the race.
Oh, my golly! You don't really think...
I do. Steggles is a bad man.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my golly. Oh gosh.
Jeeves,
oh,
from now on we must watch Harold like hawks.
Gosh. Undoubtedly, sir.
Ceaseless vigilance, what?
Precisely, sir.
You wouldn't care to sleep in his room, would you?
No, sir. I should not.
No, nor would I if it comes to that.
Oh, my golly.
Oh, dash it all, Bingo. We're letting ourselves getting rattled. We're losing our nerve. How can Steggles possibly get at Harold, even if he wants to?
Bertie, you ought to read some of these racing novels. There are all sorts of ways of nobbling favourites. In Pipped at the Post, Lord Jasper Moore Leverer, as near as a toucher, outed Bonnie Betsy by bribing the head lad to slip a cobra into her stall the night before the derby.
Jeeves, what are the chances of a cobra biting Harold?
Slight, I should imagine, sir. And in such an event, knowing the boy as intimately as I do, my anxiety would be entirely for the snake.
Quite. Still, unceasing vigilance, Jeeves.
Most certainly, sir.
Cheer up, Bingo, for heaven's sake. Don't be so morbid. Nothing's happened yet.
No, Bertie, not yet. Nothing happened yet. No, not yet. Nothing's happened yet. No.
I must say, I got a bit fed with young Bingo in the next few days. Of course, it meant a lot to the poor fish if he could collect on this race, because it would give him enough money to chuck his job tutoring young Egbert Wick Hammersley and get back to London. But in my opinion, he overdid it. The blighter's mind appeared to be absolutely saturated with racing fiction, and in stories of that kind, as far as I could make out, no horse is allowed to start a race without at least a dozen attempts to put it out of action. He stuck to Harold like a plaster, never letting the unfortunate kid out of his sight. And all the time, the wildest imaginings were going on inside what he was pleased to call his mind.
Bertie, I've been thinking.
What?
You? Would you? Could you go to Evensong on Sunday?
Evensong? What the devil for?
Well, it's the day before the sports, you see, and I can't go myself, as I shan't be here. I've got to go to London tomorrow morning with young Egbert. He's going for a visit down in Kent, and I've got to see him off at Charing Cross. It's an infernal nuisance. Shan't be back till Monday afternoon, and in fact, I expect I shall miss most of the sports. Everything, therefore, depends on you, Bertie.
But, Bingo, why on earth should either of us go to evening service?
Ass! Harold sings in the choir, doesn't he?
Well, what about it? I can't stop him dislocating his neck on a high note, if that's what you're afraid of.
Fool! Steggles sings in the choir, too. There may be dirty work after the service.
Oh, absolute rot, Bingo.
Is it? Well, let me tell you that in Jenny the Girl Jockey, the villain kidnapped the boy who was to ride the favourite the night before the big race, and he was the only one who understood and could control the horse, and if the heroine hadn't dressed up in riding things...
All right, Bingo. If there's any danger, it seems to me the simplest thing would be for Harold not to turn out on Sunday evening.
He must turn out, Bertie. You seem to think the infernal kid's a monument of rectitude, beloved by all. He's got the shabbiest reputation of any kid in the village. His name's as near being mud as it can jolly well stick. And he's paid hooky from the choir so often that old Heppenstall told him if one more thing happened, he'd fire him out. Nice chumps we should look if he was scratched the night before the race.
All right, Bingo. I'll be there. There's something about evening service in a country church that makes a fellow feel drowsy and content. A sort of end-of-a-perfect-day feeling, if you know what I mean. Old Heppenstall was up in the pulpit, and he had a kind of regular bleating delivery that assisted thought.
Dearly beloved, it is not enough for us to think benevolently towards
peaceful.
Our neighbour.
That's what I'm driving at.
It is not
I
even
felt
sufficient
peaceful.
For us to
Everybody
feel
felt peaceful.
Benevolently towards
and that is why the explosion, when it came, sounded like the end of all things.
Perhaps matter towards him too.
Why, sainted aunt, what's that? Jeeves, it's the kid Harold. He appears to be having some species of fit.
If you will observe, sir, he is jumping up and down and snapping at the back of his neck.
What the devil for? He sounds like 600 pigs having their tails twisted at the same time. Jeeves, do you know what I think? It's that hellhound Steggles.
I should not be surprised, sir.
Take that boy away!
The boy is being removed by the vergers.
Jeeves, I'm going round to investigate. Meet me at the stage door as soon as the service is over.
Very good, sir.
Ah, Worcester.
Steggles! What the devil's going on?
Mr. Heppenstall's concluded the service somewhat abruptly, that's all, Worcester, but do come in. Ah, here is the old boy.
Bring Harold to me, Mr. Mason.
Yes, Mr. Heppenstall.
Harold, come here.
But Mr.
Silence, boy! I have never in 40 years in the ministry come across such shameful and indecorous behaviour from a member of the choir.
But somebody put a beetle down my back, Mr. Heppenstall.
A what?
A beetle, Mr. Heppenstall.
Harold! Pray do not add mendacity to your already multitudinous offences.
But I felt it wriggling, Mr.
Nonsense! I do not credit a word of your story, wretched boy.
I did.
Sounds pretty thin, doesn't it, Worcester?
Stiggles, you put that beetle down his neck.
Me, Worcester? Me?
Silence, everyone! Harold, I have warned you about your conduct on too many previous occasions. The time has come to act. You cease from this moment to be a member of the choir. Go, miserable child.
But Mr.
Go and show him out, Mr. Mason.
Yes, Mr. Heppenstall. Come on, Harold. Come on, son. Come on.
In that case, Worcester, those bets, you know, I'm afraid you lose your money, dear old boy.
You blister, Stiggles.
Oh, come now, let's not be acrimonious, Worcester. It's a pity you didn't put it on SP, don't you think? I always think SP's the only safe way.
Oh, yes, and they talk about the purity of the turf.
May I beg your pardon, sir?
What? Oh, I was just saying something to Stiggles, Jeeves, and I meant it to sting, by Joe. Do you know what he did?
No, sir.
He put a beetle down Harold's neck.
An ingenious young gentleman, Mr. Stiggles, sir.
A bally swindler, you mean?
Perhaps that would be a more exact description. We would now rely, then, it would seem, sir, almost entirely on Mrs. Penworthy. Should she justify Mr. Little's encomiums and show real class in the mother's sack race, our gains will just balance our losses.
Well, I suppose so, Jeeves. There's not much consolation when you'll be looking forward to a big win.
It is just possible that we might find ourselves on the right side of the ledger after all, sir. Before Mr. Little left, I persuaded him to invest a small sum for the syndicate, of which you were kind enough to make me a member, sir, on the girls' egg and spoon race.
On Sarah Mills?
No, sir. On a long-priced outsider, little Prudence Baxter, the child of his lordship's head gardener. Her father assures me she has a very steady hand. I am aware that it is what is termed a long shot, sir. Still, I thought it judicious.
Well, I suppose it's all right, Jeeves. I never known you make a bloomer yet.
Thank you very much, sir. The tribute is much appreciated.
Right-ho, Jeeves.
I'm bound to say that, as a general rule, my idea of a large afternoon would be to keep as far away from a village school sports as possible. A sticky business. But with such grave issues toward, if you know what I mean, I sank my prejudices on this occasion and rolled up. And I must say I found the proceedings about as scaly as I had expected. It was a warm day, and the hall grounds were a dense, virtually liquid mass of peasantry. Kids seethed to and fro, and as I clove my way through the jam to where the mother's sack race was to finish, one of them, a small girl of sorts, grabbed my hand and hung on.
Hello, mister.
Hello, infant.
Look, I won in the lucky dip, mister.
Ugh! What is it?
It's a rag doll. I'm going to call it Gertrude, and I shall undress it every night and put it to bed, and wake it up in the morning and dress it and put it to bed at night, and wake it up in the morning and dress
Yes, I say, old thing, look, I don't want to hurry you and all that, but couldn't you condense it a bit? Could you? I mean, I'm rather anxious to see the finish of this race. The Worcester fortunes are by way of hanging on it.
I'm going to run in your race soon, mister.
Really? Lovely. Excuse me, could you? Yes, thank you. And what race is that, child?
Egg and Spoon. I'm running in Egg and Spoon.
The Egg and Spoon. Really? You're not Sarah Mills, are you?
No, I'm Prudence Baxter.
The Prudence Baxter? Well, I'm dashed one of the stable.
What?
I say, old friend, that being so, you mustn't buzz about in the hot sun, taking the edge off yourself, you know. You must conserve your energies. Why not sit down here in the shade?
I don't want to sit down.
You don't want to? Well, take it easy anyway, my dear old gardener's daughter. What?
Ah, Worcester, my dear fellow.
Hello, Mr. Hemsall.
So you made friends with this little lady, have you?
Oh, rather.
Admirable. I'm delighted, my dear Worcester. Quite delighted at the way you young men are throwing yourselves into the spirit of this little festivity of ours.
Oh, yes.
Indeed, Worcester. Even Rupert Steggles. I must confess that my opinion of Rupert Steggles has materially altered for the better this afternoon.
Well.
I have always considered Rupert Steggles, between ourselves, my dear Worcester, a rather self-centered youth, by no means the kind who would put himself out to further the enjoyment of his fellows, and yet, twice within the last half hour, I have observed him escorting Mrs. Penworthy, our worthy tobacconist's wife, to the refreshment tent.
What? Refreshment tent? Excuse me, Mr. Hemsall. I must go. I must go now. Pip!
But
Bingo! Did you see the result? Who won?
I don't know. I didn't notice. But it wasn't Mrs. Penworthy, dash her. Bertie, that hound Steggles is nothing more or less than one of our leading snakes. He must have got on to it that she was dangerous. Do you know what he did? He weighed that miserable woman down with so much cake and tea that she blew up in the first 20 yards. Just rolled over and lay there.
I knew it.
Thank goodness we still have Harold, Bertie.
Harold, haven't you heard?
Heard? What? I haven't heard anything. I only arrived 5 minutes ago, came straight here from the station. What's happened? Tell me.
Harold was booted out of the choir last night.
Oh, my golly. Steggles?
The very toad.
Oh, no! No.
Bingo. Bingo, look, I know it's a nasty shock and all that, but I... Oh, poor chap.
Good afternoon, sir.
What? Oh, geez, you gave me a start. I say, have you heard about Mrs. Penworthy?
Yes, sir, I am very sorry, sir.
No sorrier than I am, Jeeves. All we've got now is the Bally Egg and Spoon race. Oh, they seem to be off. There you are, you see, Jeeves. She's nowhere already, the Baxter kid. Nowhere! Is that Sarah Mills, the graceful one?
It is, sir.
Well, she's the winner. You can see it at once. A natural Egg and Spoon if ever I saw one.
She is certainly most accomplished, sir.
Well, you can tell by the way she holds the bally spoon. There you are. You see, Jeeves, class will tell. I made it Sarah Mills first, the freckled blonde second, and the sniffing female in blue gingham beating the pie-faced kid in pink for the place money. And where was Prudence Baxter, Jeeves? Fifth or sixth?
Fifth, sir. I'm very sorry, sir, but if you could excuse me now.
Righto, Jeeves. What a day.
Oh, Worcester, old man. Come to watch the prize giving.
Steggles, I have nothing to say to you, you serpent.
Oh, Worcester, I know you've not had a very good meeting, but, well, none of the big punters have. Poor old Bingo Little went down badly over the Egg and Spoon race.
How do you mean, badly? He only had a small bet on.
Oh, I don't know what you call a small bet. We'll see. He had 30 quid on the Baxter kid.
What?
30 quid at 10-1. I thought he must have heard something, but apparently not. The race went by the form book, after all.
Oh, my golly, 30 quid? 30 and 10 and... Oh, gosh!
Listen, Worcester. Heppen's store still hasn't finished labelling out the prizes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with regard to the girls' egg and spoon race, which has just concluded, I have a very painful duty to perform. Circumstances have arisen which it is impossible to ignore. It is not too much to say that I am stunned. I will not weary you with the unpleasant details. I will merely say that before the race was run, a stranger in our midst, the manservant of one of our guests at the hall, approached several of the competitors and presented each of them with 5 shillings on condition that they finished. A belated sense of remorse has led him to confess to me what he did, but it is too late. The evil is accomplished, and retribution must take its course. It is no time for half measures. I must be firm. I rule that Sarah Mills, Jane Parker, Bessie Clay, and Rosie Jukes, the first 4 to pass the winning post, have forfeited their amateur status and are disqualified. And this handsome work bag, presented by Lord Wickhamersley, goes in consequence to Prudence Baxter.
In that episode of What Ho Jeeves, the parts were played as follows. Jeeves, Michael Horden, Bertie, Richard Brars, the Reverend Heppenstall, Maurice Denham. Bingo Little, Jonathan Cecil, Steggles, Edwin Apps. Harold, the page boy, and Prudence Baxter, Denise Breyer. Charles and the Verger, John Sampson. The Purity of the Turf was adapted for radio by Chris Miller from the book The Inimitable Jeeves by P.G. Woodhouse. What Ho Jeeves was produced by David Hatch.